It's time for Craves Gospel Truth with Pastor Don Swarthout, coming to you from Pensacola, Florida. Over the next few minutes, Pastor Swarthout will share from his heart and bring you a message from the Word of God. We would like to invite you to visit our website at christiansforamerica.com. That's Christians, the number four, America.com. It is our prayer that you will be blessed and encouraged by today's message. And now, Craves Gospel Truth with Pastor Don Swarthout from Pensacola, Florida.
Hello, everyone. I'm Pastor Don Swarthout of Christians Reviving America's Values, which is an organization that writes letters to 1.5 million Christians every year. I have served as the president of this organization for 12 years. In the meanwhile, I have been on just about any Christian television network you may care to mention. These networks include Daystar, TBN, CBN, Sky Angel, The Sea, WACTV, KRMT Television, WHBF Television, and WTC Television. In addition to these televised programs, I have been fortunate enough to appear on Rod Parsley's television show, Fox News, and CNN in the evenings. These are a few of the television shows which have invited me to be on them. I have also been heard in all 50 states on the radio and have been fortunate enough to have several articles written about me by the Associated Press, which have appeared in the nation's newspapers. In addition to this, I have written an amicus brief for the U.S. Supreme Court about the Ten Commandments and asked the Texas Bar Association to investigate Texas Attorney General for his apparent mishandling of the Campion and Ramos border agents case. I have also written 3 books, mostly about America, and the last one was released last year. This book was written about the ACLU. In the book, I told the story about the ACLU and the fact that they only care about collecting taxpayers' money, and they really do not care about anything else. I want to make it clear that I do not say these things to make myself seem important, but rather to tell you a little bit about what I am doing. Today, I want to talk with you about America and what it is that you need to teach your children so that they will be prepared when they go out into the world. The reason that I've taken it upon myself to tell you about this is because the other side of the story is already being told to your children. Most of the universities and colleges around America are extremely liberal in their ways and their classrooms and what they've been teaching your kids. I'm somewhat afraid to tell you what they've been telling your children, but I have decided that this story must be told. When I was in early grade school years ago, I did not know anything about sex or homosexuality. Now, I have firsthand stories I can tell you about children as little as the second grade being given explicit information about sex and homosexuality, none of which did I know until I was a junior in high school, at least the part about sex. I just did not know it. The part about homosexuality, I did not know until many years after I graduated from high school. I was not taught homosexuality being normal or even desirable by my teachers in school or in Sunday school. However, I learned about sex late in high school and homosexuality a little later than this. For now, that is all that I care to say about this. Early in school, I was taught that America was the greatest country in the world. I was not taught that America was made up of a bunch of losers or lowlives. Instead, I was taught to be very proud of my country. We always found the answers for every question we faced, and we were the recognized leader in most categories of the entire world. And we did not want to go to war, but if you provoked us, we would. And America was a force to be dealt with in any war. From the American Revolution, fought in the late 1700s, through the Second World War, fought in the 1940s, America won every war that they were entered in. Since that time, we have fought wars in Korea, Vietnam, and several Islamic countries with the idea of tying our opponents. Don't ask me why. Maybe it was considered not good to show your strength. Maybe we didn't want other nations to be jealous of our strength. I'm here to tell you that that is simply wrong. In early grade school, I was taught about our Constitution and how it came into being. It was created by our very own founding fathers. We were considered a blessed nation because we had our Constitution. The Constitution guaranteed our individual liberty, freedom, opportunity, hope, and our future. Our Constitution did not portray our government as being the sole provider of all we ever would need. Along these lines went a sense of responsibility. We were taught that we were responsible for our own lives, including whether or not we were successful. That was the way things were supposed to work in what we called a democracy. The government's job was to guarantee our defense of our freedom. We were promised that we would have an opportunity to become successful. You are guaranteed that right, not the right to have things just given to you. We were taught to take care of ourselves without depending upon anyone else. We were taught to be independent, not to depend on anyone giving us anything that we needed. We were taught that if you wanted something, you worked toward getting it, and you would get it without any help from the federal government. We were taught taxpayers were to be respected, and they were the only source of money of our government. A much higher percentage of people who lived in our country used to pay taxes. In effect, when you depended upon the government, you were in reality depending upon taxpayers of our country who were people just like yourselves. They were, in a sense, your friends and neighbors. In fact, we were taught not to take things from other people which had worked for them and had earned them, or the things that the government offered to give you. We learned to think like this, and this was our upbringing, which taught us not to blame anyone else for our successes or our failures. We were responsible for the way our lives turned out. We did not occupy Wall Street and accuse them of being too rich or too successful. We all had an opportunity to be successful if we were willing to pay the price. For example, I knew at a young age I did not want to pay the price for being a doctor. We understood that we were not going to demonstrate against the rich people who were successful because we were too busy looking at ourselves. And besides, we had gotten what we had earned. We did not blame someone else for our personal decisions or our shortcomings. But during the last few years, everything has changed. All of the children who took part in baseball or some other sport were declared as winners. Even if they were 0-20, they were declared as winners just as much as the team that went 20-0. And in many cases, they were given the same trophies as were the real winners. In fact, one of the area newspapers made the decision to stop giving football scores. Instead, they simply reported that one team had defeated another. To that newspaper, it did not matter whether the score of the game was 80-0 or 28-27. In the late 1960s, I saw several advertisements in a newspaper from a larger town which said, "Let the federal government help you with your house payment." At that time, I was not able to be responsible enough to own a home, so these advertisements were no real interest to me. However, I did think, and I did say, these ads were saying, "Let your friend and neighbors make your house payment for you." I was in no way interested in letting anyone help me make my house payment, even though it meant waiting until I was successful enough to make my own house payments. Today, we all depend upon our elected officials in Washington, D.C. The fact is, your elected officials in Washington, D.C. have not yet cut one dime from the budget of our country. They are all big spenders who have no concern for America. Cuts they make are not really cuts. The reason I'm telling you about the stories about our attitude toward wars, mythical baseball teams, football scores, cuts to the federal budget, all of these stories have something to do with a fundamental problem in America today. We have forgotten what this nation was founded upon. It was founded upon capitalism, upon you doing well for yourself and having a sense of pride about your accomplishments. After all, you have accomplished something, so why not feel proud of what you have accomplished? Notice that I did not say you should rub people's noses in your success. Instead, we have begun to take pride in what the government owes us. We cannot do anything for ourselves anymore. We must have the help of the government, which depends upon taxpayers for their income. Our elected officials are always thinking about how they can take advantage of American people. Somehow, we seem to have forgotten the fact that we are the people who pay for our elected officials and all of their decisions. When will we ever learn? You could be simply appalled at the amount of money we send to foreign countries. Since these people do not care anything about the United States, it is time that they learn to stand on their own two feet. It is also time for our elected officials to recognize that they must start saving money for our future, rather than keep spending and spending much more money than we have coming in every year. Do you know how much the federal government spent this year? Well, I can tell you that in 3 years, these elected officials have added $3.6 trillion to our deficit. One of the things that has been mentioned is to tax the rich. It is my understanding that if the federal government took everything the rich made, they would still not have enough money. It is also my understanding, and I think that it's accurate, that we have a spending problem and not a tax problem. Almost half of the citizens of America no longer pay anything in taxes. Maybe if everyone paid taxes, something anyway, it would help us all. Instead, we have a bunch of people who will not work, have gotten used to the idea that the federal government is their source of groceries, housing, utilities, and whatever else they can name. We have become greedy and expect the government to help us with everything instead of being self-sufficient, like our founding fathers were. We understand that we have fallen from under the control of the federal government for absolutely everything because they have offered it. Our founding fathers believed in God. Well, at one time, most of the people in our country believed in God. These people and our founding fathers knew one thing for sure, which I stand behind, and that is the principles of good government are exactly the same as the principles of good Christianity. The founding fathers prayed frequently. In fact, after a speech by Benjamin Franklin, our federal government adopted prayer before the opening of all their legislative sessions, which does continue until today. Whether you like it or not, our founding fathers were very godly men. Oh, they may have believed in some old-fashioned ideas, but this is to be considered very good thinking. The point is, they were believers in God, and that is what I am talking about. This doesn't mean our elected officials never had any disagreements, but I do mean that they were godly men who worked out everything by asking themselves, what is best for our country? Then they voted accordingly and did not vote along party lines. Today's votes are almost always predictable and along party lines. In regard to the way politics are played today, the Lord once said to me, Don, you don't have a political problem in Washington, D.C. What you have is a religious problem in Washington, D.C. today. That seems very true when we think that the federal government is our source of everything instead of God. To me, that alone means we have a religious problem in Washington, D.C. Actually, we have a religious problem in the entire nation. We have forgotten God in America. There are those that still remember God every day, and I'm thinking more of the whole nation taken as a whole, and that really is a big problem in our nation. See, there were two main reasons that people came to the United States, and they were liberty and freedom. People founded upon religious liberty and freedom, our nation. And our founding fathers wanted to see these two things more than anything else. Let's look at the Bible and see how this all fits. In Proverbs 22:28, the Bible says, "Remove not the ancient landmark which the fathers have set." This simply means to me that you should not remove any ancient landmark which was put into place by our forefathers. Unfortunately, or fortunately, one of those landmarks would be the United States Constitution. Isaiah 99 and 6 and 7 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." These names were just in case you did not know that they were talking about Jesus. And verse 7 says, "Of his increase and of his government and peace there shall be no end." This was a prophecy about Jesus Christ to which I frequently said, this sounds to me like Jesus is going to be very involved in our government when he comes back. In fact, maybe he is going to change our minds about our government. Is it possible that Jesus Christ will change our minds to conform with the saying, the principles of good government are exactly the same as the principles of good Christianity? We must understand who Jesus Christ is compared to our politicians. Remember, God has taken no liberty away from you. Instead, he gives you liberty, freedom, and free will. In Isaiah 58:6, the Bible says, is not this the fast I have chosen, to loose the bands of the wickedness, to undo heavy burdens and let the oppressed go free, for you to break every yoke? God made these verses true after the Civil War in the United States. America is made up of liberty and freedom and free will. These are the very things which people came to the United States to obtain. They came for liberty, freedom, and free will, and to practice their own religious beliefs. In Isaiah 61:1, the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has appointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has set me up to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and open the prisons to those who are bound. Jesus Christ said the same thing in Luke 4:18, which was really meant to say what Jesus was here. He was here as a living example of what men were expected to do to please God. Besides, it was the church who was to take care of the indigent. Therefore, Jesus proclaimed liberty to the captives and liberty to those who were oppressed. How did Jesus do that? Well, this verse tells us Jesus preached the gospel to the poor, healed the brokenhearted, healed the blind, and proclaimed the acceptable year of the Lord. How many of us are proclaiming the liberty to the captives and to those that are oppressed? How many of us are preaching the gospel to the poor, or healing the brokenhearted, or healing the blind? How many of us proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord for our salvation? This year is the acceptable year of the Lord for your salvation. Galatians 5:1 tells us to stand fast in liberty by which Christ has made us free, and we are not to be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Did you see that the Bible is speaking about our nation's freedom and our founding fathers? Galatians 5:13 says, for you have been called to liberty. Do not use liberty for the flesh, but through love serve one another. James 1:25 says, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but is a doer of the work. And this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Look into the perfect law of liberty. Can you see what God is saying here? God is saying that a man who looks into the perfect law of liberty is not a forgetful hearer, and he will be blessed in his deed. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is a spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Or said another way, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is not, neither is there liberty. When we say it that way, where the Lord is not, neither is there liberty, it somehow emphasizes and makes the meaning much more clear. Once again, God, talking about our liberty and the fact that He is a Spirit, is clear that He is referring to Christianity. In John 8:32 and 36, Jesus is talking, explaining what the word free means. In 8:32, Jesus says, "And you know that the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And in John 8:36, Jesus says, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." This is saying Jesus Christ will set you free. When you know what the truth is, you will be set free from sin and become a slave to righteousness when you believe in Jesus Christ. When you know this, you will be free indeed. Said another way, the truth you know will set you free. Romans 6:18 says, "Having been set free from sin, you have become the slaves of righteousness." Romans 6:7 says, "For he who is dead is freed from sin." 1 Corinthians 7:22, the Bible says, "For he who is called in the Lord, while a slave, is the Lord's freedman." Likewise, he that is called being free is Christ's slave. That is the best description I can think of defining what freedom really means. The point is, liberty, freedom, and free will are at the heart of Christianity. And they are at the heart of good government. You cannot have good Christianity without liberty, freedom, and free will. Neither can you have good government without liberty, freedom, and free will. Therefore, the principles of good Christianity and good government are exactly the same. Well, our time has come and gone for another week, and we will be here again next week, unless the Lord comes first. And if that is the case, I expect to see you in heaven. This is Pastor Don Swarthout saying so long for now.
This has been Craves Gospel Truth with Pastor Don Swarthout from Pensacola, Florida. We pray that today's program has been a blessing to you. For more information, visit us online at www.christiansforamerica.com. Once again, that's Christians, the number four, America.com. Or visit thegospeltruthcenter.com. We would love to hear from you. You can write Pastor Swarthout at 4677 Belvedere Circle, Pace, Florida, 32571. Or you can email Pastor Don at swarthout5, that's the number 5, at AOL.com, or call 850-736-8613. Once again, that's 850-736-8613. Thank you for listening to Craves Gospel Truth with Pastor Don Swarthout. We look forward to hearing from you.